1, Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 11, New Living Translation. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 11, New Living Translation. And we're teaching on the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking about the present day purpose. So many people who have the traditional religious, what we call CME mindset, they think Christmas, we get all excited about the baby Jesus. And then in Easter, we think about Jesus died on the cross, and that's great. And he was rose from the dead, but then we forget about what is he doing now? Because they live and talk and act like Jesus is just long distance or in some ghost town somewhere. So this is a vital part of our now everyday perspective and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he rose, but he rose for a purpose. He was exalted as Lord, exalted as King of Kings, and he's now in present day ministry. What is he doing? What ministry is he engaged in for his body, for his Christian believers and followers? That's what we're going to learn today a little bit. Amen. And God has another thing he wants to do today. So y'all pray with me so we can get what God has for you out. Amen. So for Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 11, and I'm reading out a New Living Translation. It says, in my first book, this is Dr. Luke. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. He's a medical doctor, but he was also the author of the book of Acts. So I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach. Everybody say do and teach. So Luke is the introduction from Dr. Luke's perspective and writing by the Holy Spirit. And this is the sequel. This is the, and he said, until the day he was taken up unto heaven, after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died. So 40, everybody say 40 days. So Jesus didn't just ascend right away. It was a 40-day transitional period. What was he doing those 40 days after he was raised from the dead? Look at what it says. He said he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked with them about the kingdom of God. How many know that was a good teaching series? 40 days after the resurrection, he's teaching them important things before he goes up to heaven for a long time. Praise God. So once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That happened and occurred on the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after the resurrection. 50 days. So you got 40 days and you got 50 days. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power. Everybody say power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into the clouds while some were watching, and they could no longer see him. And they strained to see him rising into heaven. Two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, these are angels, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken up from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So, and we see here in Luke chapter 24, verse 50 and 51, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And now it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried into heaven. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And let's reread Acts 1, 9 through 11 in a New King James Version now. It's right here on the screen if you want to follow along. Now when he spoken these things, they watched. He was taken up. Everybody say taken up. The glory cloud took him up. He was being exalted. He was ascending. When he died on the cross, he descended. When he was raised from the dead and was living with the disciples, showing himself alive and teaching the kingdom, then he ascended. Everybody says Jesus descended, and then he ascended. Amen. So he's taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight, and when they stood, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, and he said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up in heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up for you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So he's coming back. Everybody say he's coming back. Amen. Praise God. So he died as a lamb, sacrificed for all of us, but he comes back as a lion. Praise God. And so he's coming back to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Somebody say praise the Lord. So we say what? The death, burial, and resurrection, components of the gospel. Well, how well do I know the gospel? Well, I got to know he died. What for? For our sins. For the sins of, he had to pay the price. He was the only one qualified. Came from the Father. Pre-incarnate, he was the Word made flesh. Lived a spotless life. Was no ever wicked word come out of his mouth. Everybody say, well, help me, Jesus. Man, he never talked wrong. He never walked in the wrong way. Completely obedient. He was a Lamb of God that was given to take away the sins of the world. Everybody say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so he was buried. So he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But he actually went down. He descended. Scripture says in Romans, it said he descended first. That means when he died, he went down. Where did he go? He went to the center and heart of the earth. He led captivity, which was paradise, was there. Captivity captive, then he took them up to heaven. Because nobody died, went to heaven before Jesus went to heaven. You think about all what he was doing. Even in his death, he was preaching to the spirits in prison. And then he conquered through the operation of the power of God. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for us. He was buried. And then he rose. God raised him from the dead. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Which was the greatest power display ever. Time past and time eternity. There was more power in the resurrection of Christ than it was for the creation of this world and universe. God displayed more power then than he did when he first created everything. That means God cast in all his chips of power. And he said, let me ride it on Jesus, my son. And he raised him from the dead. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But that wasn't all. He eventually ascended. It was the greatest event. It's the starting point. It's the centerpiece of the gospel. So when we talk to people and share our faith, we say, Jesus died for our sins. Don't stop there, because he's not still on the cross. We're thankful for the cross. We're thankful for the power of the cross. But Jesus didn't stay on the cross. Everybody say he didn't. Now, what is the beauty of us that? When he died, the scripture teaches us in Galatians, Romans, other places, that he took us to the cross. He took us to the cross with him. So we died there with him. So everybody say, when Jesus died, I died too. Now, he died your death and credited to your account. Just like you did it. Praise God. He was buried. When he was raised, he raised us up together. So God and Jesus were working this out. God was using all that power to say, I'm not just raising my son up, I'm raising up many sons and daughters. Hallelujah. So everybody say, when Jesus was raised, I was raised as well. So that's how we get saved, right? Romans 10, that if you confess with your mouth, that word confess means covenant. That means I'm going to make a covenant with God. I'm going to cut a covenant with God through my own lips, from my own heart. If we confess Jesus as Lord, Lord meaning what? Master, owner, ruler, controller, the one who decides for me, the one who tells me what to do. If I say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, Jesus is Lord, and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead. Of course, you believe that he died for your sins, and you believe that he was buried, but he also was raised from the dead. Praise God. And he said, thou shalt be what? Saved. That means he takes your confession and your belief of faith from your heart and says, all right, you're in the family now. You're born again. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. That's the greatest confession. Jesus is Lord. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. Now make it personal. Say, Jesus is my Lord. Praise God. When he was raised, and then he raised us up together. And when he ascended, God took him up, took us up there with him. And when he sat down, he sat us down in heavenly places in Christ. Woo! Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. So we see Christ's work in redemption rest primarily on these four pillars. His incarnation. Tell him we're talking to God right now, whoever that is. His crucifixion on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension. Somebody say praise God. So this ascension is the exclamation point. So we not only look back at what he did, we look up and see what he is doing. So let's make it personal now. Make it personal. How is your relationship and your connectivity and clarity about what Jesus is doing for you right now? It's just, if he's just a historical figure and your only perspective is historical facts, then you're not clear enough. You're missing the explanation point to the sentence of the gospel. Praise the Lord. So he was completely, finally demonstrating his atonement, and that had forever solved the problem sin created. He fixed it. Everybody say, Jesus fixed it. So the ascension is part of every Christian's hope. Now, when we say hope, we're not talking about wish or fantasy or just pipe dreaming. No, hope, biblically speaking, Christian hope, is expectation of good. It is a joyful, confident expectation of good and a better future than the past. So the ascension reminds us that things are getting gooder and gooder. I know that's bad English. Things are getting better and better. Come on now. My future is bright and there's no end in sight. Praise God. I don't go through the bottomless pit of despair and hopelessness. Because he not only is alive, but he's ascended and exalted on high. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible says that God has given him a name above every other name. So whatever you name what you're facing, whatever name it is you're facing, whatever pain it is you're facing, whatever you call it, Jesus is higher than that. That means you're higher than that. That means you already won before the battle even started. Thank you, Lord. So all things were made new, and his followers will be made just like him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So what's this meaning and importance that we need to have? We need to have great meaning and importance of this. After Jesus rose from the dead, he presented himself alive. We read that in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. So, you know, they doubted when the women came back from the tomb, as we talked about, and said, come see, he's alive. Only two apostles went. Two disciples, Peter and John. The other one says, oh, they're making up stuff. He had to stay on earth and prove, I'm alive. Touch me. Handle me. Last one was Thomas, who's the last one. He's no longer doubting Thomas now. So we shouldn't call him that. But, you know, but Thomas was the last one. He doubted at first because he said, what? Unless I feel, unless I see, unless I feel the print of nails in his hands, because he witnessed that, and unless I see the piercing of his side, I will not believe. Unfortunately, there's too many Thomas-like, before he saw Christ, people, Christians. They say, unless I see it and feel it. They're operating their faith off of sight and feelings. Now, listen to me. If you read the emails that I sent out, one of them said, the Lord got on me that one time. He said, you're forming your faith because I was stuck at some places. Anybody ever been stuck in prayer or in faith? He said, you were basing that on your past experience. So the struggle to see and believe for more was, I was coming up against a lid. And some people in this room are doing that. They can't grow your faith because you're stuck on past experiences and what people have said to you and did to you. And now you're struggling to believe God. Get out of your struggle. Somebody say, praise God. So God, we have to, by faith, we have to have not the Thomas kind of faith that he had before, but the Abraham kind of faith. That he didn't see a child. He didn't see a baby. His wife was past childbearing years. She had already passed through menopause. He still believed. And it was counted. So he still changed his name to say, I'm a father of many nations. He called those things which be not as though they were. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if the Lord changes my message, let him do it. Amen. But I need to deal with it. We need to deal with that. Some of you had so many tragic and traumatic past experiences. You allowed that because of the devil's input and stimulus in your life to form your faith and fix your faith at a certain level. You're not getting any higher than that. You need to break off of that today. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, some of us need to correct our confession because we're always saying things about people. They never. It's just the enemy tempting you to stay fixed and stuck where you are. They never do this. We never had this. We always have this. Those are limiting and liability words. I don't know who I'm talking to. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When Jesus ascended in Luke, it tells them that he blessed them. What does bless mean? When he blessed them, that means he was saying what God told Adam, what God told Abraham, what God told Noah. He just carried the baton and said, I'm passing it to you. Be blessed. Why is the ascension meaningful to us? Because he was blessing them as he was ascending. He was empowering them to prosper, increase, and succeed. Be blessed. Y'all looking at me like a calf in Newgate. And you know what he said to Adam? That was the first words he heard when he was forming him in the dirt. It said it breathed in his nostrils. He wasn't just blowing air. He was saying, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. Praise God. Be blessed. You know, as Don was saying about tithing, when we tithe, we activate the blessing. So we reinstate God's covenant of prosperity in our lives. Everybody say the blessing. So the blessing of the Lord, it makes us rich. Adds no sorrow, painful toil, or sweat with it. Now it says blessing singular. Malachi 3 says he will pour you out a blessing. Ephesians 1:3 says he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Praise God. And so when he was ascended, he was blessing them. So what does that mean when he said it to Adam and when he said it to Abraham, when he said it to Noah, when he carried the blessing down through life? Because he said, we are, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessing of what? Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit by faith. He said, be fruitful. What does that mean? It's always and constantly producing. Multiply, always, constantly increasing. Replenish, that means overflow from increase with no shortages. Now, everybody should have jumped on it like white on rice when Sister Dawn said, I know how much debt I need. I release my faith for what I need plus the tithe off of it. Good job, Don. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Why? Because this ascension signifies blessing. Jesus was blessing the people. That means he says you can do what? Always and constantly increase. Always and constantly produce. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know, when Pastor Anthony and I agree, we're in the 90 percentiles. Now, again, there's higher than that. We can be 100%, but the reason we're not 100%, because some, you know, usually my fault, but in prayer, agreement. What does the devil do? He always gets you, don't agree. There's power in that. When he says you're blessed, you ought to believe it and what? Receive it. I remember Dad Hagen said when he did the funeral for Mom and Pop Goodwin, he said, I would drive 200 miles just to agree with them in prayer. And he said at Pop Goodwin's funeral, he was in down in South Texas around Houston area, and he said everything, he said this at his funeral, he said everything we prayed about came to pass 100% of the time. Praise the Lord. You're always producing. You're always increasing. You got overflow so that there's no shortages. Overflow from the increase so there's never a shortage. You subdue means total control over our environment and our circumstances. So what was Jesus conveying? He said, I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you empty-handed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Come on, somebody. Look at somebody next to him. Say, be blessed. and Dad Hagin, when, you know, some of the Holy Spirit meetings, he'd go around. He, instead of says, you know, be healed, he'd just say, be blessed. And he, the whole role would just fall over. Be blessed. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So there's several reasons. Next slide, guys. Several reasons. We're going to give you all seven here. You can take a note of them. What is the meaning of him going to heaven? Why did he just stay around and hang out with us and walk with us and hold our hand? He empowered us when he ascended and was blessing us, but spiritually, legally, and vitally, he took us up together in authority and seated us with him. Whew. Hallelujah. So it signaled the end of his earthly ministry. It signified the success of his earthly work. That means he was going up because he was finished. He came from heaven to earth. You know that song, you came from heaven to earth to show the way from the cross to the grave. Debt to pay from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Oh. You know, I probably don't have the words right. But anyway, he finished his work. Amen. Y'all like that song? Y'all jump right in there. Some of y'all remember it. He marked his return to heavenly glory. It symbolized the exaltation by the Father. So God was showing the whole universe, I'm raising my son back up to where he was in power and in glory. But I'm putting you in him. It allowed him to prepare a place for us. Now, he's been working on some of our places for a while, so you've got your mansion. And that's not a little big mini house. You know how you scroll on Instagram or Facebook and you see those little nice little houses. They're mini houses or little, container houses. No, it's not. Probably not a container house. And it's probably not a miniature house. Mansion in the Greek means estate. Amen. Praise God. Like you, or a big place, a large place, Tracy. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Sister Dawn, it's paid for. There's no debt on it. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. So he's going to prepare a place for us. Why should we work hard for the Lord? Why should we serve him with all of our heart? Because we have a bigger and better and brighter future, not just in that life, but in this life. And then it indicates the beginning of his new work as a high priest. Oh, that's what he's doing now. Listen to it. Hebrews 2:17. Look at this. Therefore, in all things he's been made like to his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So God changed the order of worship, where they had a lot of high priests under the law, but now he's the high priest, but he's the great high priest. And we are now kings and priests. There's no restrictions to go into the presence of God without fear, condemnation, shame, guilt, or inferiority. We can go right in boldly to the throne of grace, praise God, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So he says he may be a merciful and faithful high priest pertaining to God to make propitiation of sin. So in the Psalms, it says in 110, it was prophesied about Jesus that you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So what did Melchizedek do? He received tithes and conferred the blessing. So what is Jesus doing today? He's receiving your tithes and is conferring the blessing. That's why we said when you tithe, you activate the blessing. Because Jesus is in receipt of your tithes. If you're not tithing, then he's not receiving them. And then he can't confer the blessing on you. Everybody got quiet then. That's another reason to tithe. And don't skip tithing. And don't short circuit tithing. Because we found in Isaiah and Malachi, they tithed out of strife. Some tithe with bad words coming out of the mouth. Lord, I got to do this. He's not going to, he's going to, as a priest, he's the high priest. Hebrews 3:1, Hebrews 4:14 says he's the high priest over your confession of faith. That means what you say with your words. So if I give tithes begrudgingly, he has no blessing to confer on that begrudgingly. He has to take that confession and say, that's what they said. God says, so be it. You have what you say. So tithing, my brother, is more of your confession and worship to God. Your money, the tithe, the 10% gets in the bucket on earth, but your confession of faith and your worship gets into heaven up there. And as your high priest, he says, he receives, at the order of, receives your tithes, confers the blessing. That's why you just can't write out the check and just can't stick your card in this machine without saying something. And we help you out. We give the tithe, we give the confession, but you got to put your heart in it. Hallelujah. So that's his work. High priest, he's doing that right now. He came as a prophet. He rose and ascended as priest. He's coming back as king. Those are the three offices that were anointed under the Old Testament, prophet, priest, and king. And he's anointed as our great high priest. So as royal priesthood, we don't have to go to a human priest. We can go to our high priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And it's, so it says, it, let me read it. Let me read it to you. Hebrews 3:1 and Hebrews 4:14, it says, therefore, holy brother, partakers of heavenly calling, consider the high apostle and high priest. Consider him. Now, today, are you considering Jesus as your high priest? You should be. You should go forth from this service today saying, he's my high priest. Now, people in certain religions go to a human priest because they have to confess their sins or they need to be absolved of their sins. But we don't do that in Christ. We have a high priest. He said, consider the apostle and high priest. He's been sent for your words. He's been sent for what you say. Amen. And if you don't confess anything, or if your confession is all wigged out and crazy, if you're talking ugly like the, out of the side of your neck, he can't help you. Confession is saying the same thing what God says. So we get the word and in our mouth and in our heart and coming out of our mouth again. So we say the word and Jesus has something to work with on your behalf. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Y'all getting something out of this? Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing we have a great high priest. What kind of high priest do we have? A great high priest. Everybody say, great high priest. Great high priest. You have a great high priest. Everybody say that. I have a great, high priest. Amen. And it says that who passed through the heavens, that's Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast what? Now this is April 12th. Have you let it go? Now people let their confession go when their strength in their spirit and their faith goes. Amen. You let your confession go, because we always say if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it will never be strong enough to move your mountain. Or as we read this morning, kill that Goliath. like Mark Hankin says, never run at your giant with your mouth shut. Now, this is not on the screen, but write it down, reference, good reference. Proverbs 24:10. Just write it down. We're almost finished. Thank you, Jesus. It said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now, Don said something key, because when we all get to new places, we get new graces, but new levels bring new devils. But if you faint in the day of your adversity, when the trouble comes, when the trial comes, when the pressure comes, it says your strength will be small. Proverbs 24:10. Now look at that at the Passion Translation. In the Passion Translation, if you faint when under pressure, you have need of courage. That means you're not encouraged, you're discouraged. Praise the Lord. So he's confessing it. He said, because he's your great high priest, you have to hold fast your confession. That means your faith grip needs to be strong enough to hold on to the promises, to the principles of God's word. Like a bulldog locked in on a bone, you got to hold on. Don't let it go. Because we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. The wisdom of God tells us, Jesus told us, when the rains come, when the storms, when the wind blew and beat against the house, it won't fall. But Jesus didn't say, there's no rain not coming. There's no storms not coming. There's no wind not going to blow against you. Come on, there's no, that's Matthew chapter 7. There's no beating that's going to come against your house. We're going to experience those different degrees and dimensions of adversity. But Proverbs tells us if we faint or if we quit on faith. We start forgetting that we have a great high priest. During the times of adversity, our strength is too small. Hallelujah. When we got pressure coming up against us, somebody say, praise God. We got to be strong. Everybody say, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say. The Lord woke me up this morning. He said, strength. He said, my people need strength. You get weak when you're trying to do things through the energy of your flesh and through your unrenewed mind. You're staying up late. You're not going to sleep on time because you're trying to figure out how to get through the adversity, how to get through the pressure, how to relieve the pain. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Everybody said, Lord, give me strength. So it says to us, I'm just going to give you a few scriptures and we'll close out here in a minute. You think about it. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength. Our refuge and strength. God is my, everybody say it with me. God is not going to be. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of what? In time of trouble. Y'all got the scripture in front of you. Psalms 46:1. He's my refuge and my strength. When you're up against the storms of life, because Jesus did use storms, it's not up to you to weather it in your own strength. And your own stamina. You got to get the strength from the Father God. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 29 says, he never fails in strength. He in him is everlasting strength. He said he gives power to the faint. Power to who? And those that have no might, he increases what? Their strength. So God wants to increase your strength today. Those that have no might, he increases your strength. Strength for the race. Strength that is comes from his grace. Strength to keep up with your destiny and your divine pace. Hallelujah. And strength to shut the door on the devil, even slam it in his face. That's what the Holy Spirit says. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Strength. Everybody say strength. David said in Psalms 18, the Lord gives me strength. He strengthens my hands for war and my fingers to fight. Some of you have lost your faith, and consequently, you lost your fight of faith. The fight of faith is to keep you in a position of faith, believing to receive, instead of slipping into doubt, fear, and unbelief. The devil's messing with you with your mind. He said, be strong in the Lord. And empowered, it be and the power of his might. Now, of course, the Amplified says, draw your strength from your union with Christ. Where do you draw your strength from? Your union with Christ. The same strength from which his powerless might provides. So a priest is like we call a bridge builder. So Jesus is now saying, come get your new strength. It's not shut out and the door is shut for you or the store is closed for you. You go to a store, you say, I really need some milk, and the store is closed. No, if you really need strength, God is always ready to give you strength. But you got to look to him. You got to expect him, and you got to believe and receive from him. He'll give you strength to endure. And strength to endure that thing cheerfully. Hallelujah. Y'all praying with me? He's coming back. Jesus is not going, coming back weak and wanting of strength. He's coming back with fire in his eyes. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Somebody say praise God. And he's going to knock the devil and the Antichrist and all those into hell and get them out of the way. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say, Jesus is coming back. He's going to ride on that white horse. Somebody say, praise God, praise the Lord. Now, let's look at the last slide. Just give you a visual. You can turn next one, guys. So you can write these scriptures down. What is Jesus doing right now? Well, he's the good shepherd and the bishop of your souls. So what he told me this morning was, my people need strength because they've gotten fatigued, tired, faint. Hallelujah. He's watching over you. Now, he's the great shepherd. I'm just an under shepherd. Pastors are under shepherds. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And the bishop of your soul, that means he watches over what you're thinking, how you're feeling. Remember, we just read Hebrews 4:14. He's not an alien or a stranger. He is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched by the feelings of our weaknesses and our lack of strength. He's touched by our emotions. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he's touched by our emotions. That's where it is right here. And he's interceding. He has been standing in the gap for you. He's been making up the bridge for you. Jesus is not sitting down taking a long extended nap. In these roles, he is always busy and engaged for you. For you. He's ever interceding. It says it in these verses that we just read. I didn't read that part of it, but he ever lives to give intercession. Why? Because he knows that we're weak. We get weak. We have feelings that go rogue. Sometimes we have thoughts that may want to say we quit. He's the mediator of the new covenant. So he's up to make sure everything that was covenantly done, you get. He's advocating for you to get it. He's our high priest. He's our advocate. Everybody say, our attorney for defense. So what happens? The devil is going up, Revelation says, day and night, twice a day, as the accuser of the brethren. That means accuser means antidikos in the Greek. It means prosecuting attorney. That means he's going filing lawsuits against you. How does he file lawsuits against you? What you say and what you do. He's a legalist. He looks out every time you step across the line, you yell out a whole bunch of curse words. Cuss words. You have a whole bunch of evil thoughts that you act on in your behavior. You get mean. You get in strife. You get angry. You even get depressed. And he's going up filing a lawsuit. They don't deserve to be blessed. They don't deserve to be healed. Make them weak. Because he's about to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you need an advocate, a lawyer, for your defense. Because we can't afford one in heaven. Many times we can't afford one on earth. Legal charges are huge. Man. Pastor Cynthia and I just got through some legal stuff. And, man, just the legal fees alone. I was like, if we just not paid the legal fees, we'd have been okay. Could have took care of it a few months ago. We took care of it. Praise God. We went through it and paid, take care of it. Somebody said, praise the Lord. See, we're not exempt from stuff, but we have an advocate. Jesus Christ, the right. We have an advocate. Come on. Come on now. Lift your hands and thank God. Come on. Lift your hands and thank God. Thank God. He gives you strength. He gives you strength. Hallelujah. 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 Now, John, you can play that third song that we prayed on praise and worship. If you could just play that. And then we're going to play My Strength after that. My Strength. My Strength. So play the third song. Father God, we thank you for the time today. We thank you for this occasion today. We thank you, Father God, for revealing to our heart good things from heaven. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory. We thank you that you will distribute and give these, your precious people, much strength. Strength for their race, strength to walk by faith and access their grace. Thank you, Father God. Strength, hallelujah, to keep up your divine pace. Hallelujah. Strength to stay in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And stand strong. Strength that they can do your will and do your work. Yes, even all day long. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Strength. I commission and I release strength to these, your precious people. Yes, even this day. Hallelujah. The strength as others who ate the angels' food and ran for 40 days. Hallelujah. We thank you for the